Good morning, everyone. The subject in our temples today is entitled, Is Peace Possible in Today's World? And of course, the difficulties and problems, and at times even terrors of this world can understandably create a feeling of uncertainty or insecurity or fear. And at times we may not do ourselves any favors, or at least we know we have to be mindful how many of those images we take in, because literally the events of the world are, you know, right there at our phones and fingertips on a daily basis. And so it can happen that if we, you know, or the more that we take in some of that news and those images on a daily basis, it can start to overwhelm us, or paint the world in a certain color for us, or take over our lives in such a way that we, if not consciously, there may be in the background just a sort of a static of nervousness and worry on a regular, if not daily, basis. And so that's why, although we'll talk some about world peace today, our focus would be more on discovering that place of inner peace and security, which our guru said is really the only true and lasting shelter from all harm. We know Lord Krishna said, be anchored in that which is changeless, meaning the changeless part of our being, the immortal soul that's ever part of that changeless spirit. And in the same way, paraphrasing a bit, the saying of Jesus about building our house upon the rock, if we build our house upon the rock of this truth, then when the storms of life gather, the winds blow and the rains beat on some of the circumstances of our life, we're able to maintain our peace, our faith. And then by doing so, we also can extend that hand of peace to those around us who may likewise be in need of some comfort and support. So in this path of self-realization fellowship, we know our guru brought the power of daily meditation to help give us that balance in our daily life, to neutralize the energy around us at times, to take control of our life and energy, and to give us a scientific method where we can withdraw our consciousness when we choose from the outer surface of this ever-changing sea of life, so that we might absorb it into that changeless ocean within. And then, as our master said, our guru said, finding God within, finding that spirit within, then without doubt we'll find that divine spirit, we'll find God without. And he said, in all people and in all conditions. And then the world still goes on, it still has its troubles, but in a way it's not so much for us as it was before, because we start to look at the world through different eyes, or we start to look at it through our hearts. So let's begin our service today, as we always do, with an opening prayer to ask that we might tune in with God's divine peace and joy. And then we'll take that prayerful intention with us into a few moments, a few minutes of meditation. So please stand. And let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashai, Swami Sri Yukteswar, our Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we bow to you all. Beloved God, lead us from darkness to light, from ignorance to wisdom, and from restlessness to peace. Touch our souls, that we might feel your presence right within us, all around us, everywhere, for thou art everywhere. Om, peace, amen. Please be seated. So let us spend a few minutes now in meditation. First by sitting upright in the correct meditation posture. You know, Christ also said the kingdom of heaven lies within. And as we sit in the meditation posture, it's the first step toward, you know, entering that inner kingdom. And so we sit with the spine erect, the shoulders are slightly back. And this is helped by, as we place our hands, palms upturned on the juncture of the thighs and abdomen, it automatically just slightly pulls those shoulders back. That allows the chest to expand a little and the lungs, the breath, to flow more easily and naturally without effort or strain. And then the chin is parallel to the floor. And in this posture, then the head, the neck, the spine can be perfectly aligned, which then helps for that energy to further withdraw and be able to ascend back up that spine to the higher consciousness in the brain. And then we lift the gaze slightly to the point between the eyebrows with our eyes closed. This portal, again, to that divine kingdom within. And our master, our guru, said just, you know, during the day, if we're feel buffeted, pushed around a bit by circumstances and feeling a little tense or strained, then all we have to do is just close our eyes, lift our gaze to that point between the eyebrows. Everything's all right, Lord. You are with me. Because it's amazing, we can see it right now, if we just, as we lift our gaze to the point between the eyebrows, it's as if something happens, like right away, as if we can perceive like a sense of expansion or perception of tranquility in our forehead. This metaphysical center, our Guru referred to as the Christ Consciousness Center, or Kutasta Center. And then as we meditate, we also open our hearts to that inflow, that endless subterranean sea of love within us. And then to help take our consciousness further within, we can use the breath to relax the body and mind. So first exhale with a double exhalation, then inhale slowly, hold the breath, exhale slowly. Again, inhale slowly through the nostrils. Hold the breath, and then exhale slowly. And try to take a deep breath, inhale slowly, Hold the breath. And then exhale. Every time we exhale, we can feel body and mind start to relax ever more. Once more, inhale slowly. Hold the breath. Exhale slowly. You know, with our eyes still closed, in the spirit of our service topic today on world peace, let us mentally follow along with one of our guru's guided meditations that I'll read, entitled Kinship with Our World Family. And visualize as we hear the words and let our consciousness expand with his words as I read them for us. He said, sit upright on a chair. Close your eyes. Think that you are sitting on the center of the floor of your world home, of which the sky is the roof. Then picture this world home, decorated with snow on the north and south poles, and inlaid with mountains, rivers, and pools of oceans filled with frothy, pure white lilies of wavelets. Behold the ferns of forests which bedeck your earthly house. And now behold in your mind's eye all your relative nations, races, families, your loved ones, friends, and so forth, gathered around you, playing the drama of life on the stage of time. Then mentally say, hello, everybody, my white, brown, red, and yellow fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, and friends. Try to feel all races as your very own family and loved ones. Let's pause here a moment and meditate on this thought. Let us take a few moments, try to feel that we love all, that we wish goodwill to all. Now our guru continues, mentally say again, let us all bow to our one Father, God, who made us all in his image. Let us bow to our same grandparents, Adam and Eve, whose one blood runs in all our veins. Let us thank God for putting us in our one big home of the earth. Let us live happily and harmoniously and do his will, that our home may become what he wants it to be. So with our gaze at the point between the eyebrows and our hearts open wide, let us continue to meditate on this thought and feeling of expansion and unity, our oneness with all nature, all life, all beings. Once our guru quoted a line from a poem, love and I drew a circle and we included the whole world. So let us continue to meditate together. Let our love expand and include the whole world. And let us meditate and feel this divine love that is within us, around us, and everywhere. So again, as already mentioned, our subject today is entitled, Is Peace Possible in Today's World? And I'm inclined right off the bat to modify this a bit and ask, is peace possible in the world, period? You know, in any age, not just today. Although I realize today is what we're concerned about. So a little later on, we'll address that broader issue of peace in the world around us as well. But to start with, the title also immediately, for me, evokes another thought, in which I'm certain is where our guru would have us begin, meaning the question of peace isn't so much or only about something out there in the world, but in other words, what about our peace? How peaceful am I? How well do we practice and manifest that peace in our own lives? So in a way, we can almost amend the service. Is peace possible in today's world for me? Otherwise, I think in an unconscious way, we can put the responsibility for our own peace out there on someone else, on others, on the politicians, on something outside ourselves to give us what we have a most direct role in creating ourselves. Or perhaps, as mentioned previously, if we focus only or primarily on the lack of peace in the world, it can frighten or freeze us so much that into a feeling that we're just too small and ineffectual to be able to do anything about it or about our own lives in this, what feels like this swirling ocean of change and circumstances around us. And we can forget our role in that process as well. And so our guru takes a different approach. And he once said very simply, peace in the world starts with peace in individual hearts. Peace in the world starts with peace in individual hearts. And I thought we might pause here for just a moment and look within or ask ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being really good, 1, there's some room above that we can strive for, but to ask ourselves, you know, within our hearts, how peaceful am I generally? How much do I contribute to peace in the world? You know, on that same scale of 1 to 10, how peaceful am I in my home with my family? Or when I get together with my friends, or if I have coworkers, you know, how peaceful am I there? How peaceful am I when I am out in the community, when I go get groceries? You know, it might be a positive number, maybe more on the lower scale, maybe we're not sure, so we'll come back to this later on. And so back to this idea that peace starts with us, we see this reflected further in the Bible passage and our guru's commentary for today. And this first passage is from the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And then our guru took a parallel reference as well from the Gospel of Luke and from the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus said, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." In other words, that famous golden rule, do unto others as you or we would have others do unto us. And so our guru commented on these passages as follows. He said, "That which one wants to see in others should first be manifested in oneself. For whatsoever goes forth from one's consciousness and in one's actions returns in kind. The goodness one hopes to receive from others should begin with goodness given to others. One should never behave in a way that he would abhor were he the recipient." And then there's a most interesting footnote from this Second Coming of Christ volume from which our guru's commentary is taken. And it says, "This golden rule is basic to the spiritual teachings of the world's religions." And then it lists various examples. He says, from the Hindu scripture, the Mahabharata, it says, one should not behave toward others in a way which is disagreeable to oneself. This is the essence of morality. And from the Analects of Confucius, is there one word that can serve as a principle of conduct for life? Confucius replied, it is the word shu, reciprocity. Do not impose on others what you yourself do not desire. Then from the Jewish Talmud, what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow men. That is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. Then from the Buddhist text, hurt not others in ways that you would find hurtful. And then finally from the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, not one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother what he desires for himself. And I thought if we all did just that, wouldn't there be peace in the world? Of course there would be. And I'd forgotten this, or at least this really brought it into focus for me. I thought, this is amazing that all of us, most likely in whatever world religion we may have been raised in, we heard this. Everybody around the world, they hear this. They're taught this, or at least told this, wherever they happen to be exposed to the divine, to some, and each religion inspired by its prophets, it's given the answer, the solution to war and problems. But, you know, it's right there in front of us, but for some reason we disassociate. We haven't, obviously, as a world family, been able to take this in. So our guru goes on and he says, persons who want people to speak kindly and understandingly to them, to behave toward them sincerely, honorably, and lovingly, must initiate such response by their own demeanor in relationships with others. The divine law and the prophets deal with people in the noblest way, that people in turn will learn to act always nobly. God is never cranky, mean, or spiteful, even toward those of troublesome temperaments. People who feel punished by him have rather disturbed themselves due to their own rancorous thoughts and wrong actions. The infinite voice of God is silent, yet he is always whispering gently and lovingly through one's conscience, child, wake up, forsake the evil way. And our guru ends and says, so even in the relationship between man and his maker, God gives his great love to his children that they may forsake their misbehavior and learn to return love to him from the abundance of their own hearts. There's a saying you may have heard, I believe it's attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, that reads, you be the change that you wish for this world. You be the change that you wish for this world. And if we step back and look at his life by this approach, not only did he effect a profound and lasting change on the larger world, but he found his own world completely changed. He found his own peace of mind. Because again, the power was and is not out there. It's in here, it's in there, waiting to be tapped in the complete and inner self-transformation of a single individual, that when done to the degree that he did, we see it has power to change not only ourselves, but actually has power to change the world. And our guru, in fact, talks about the incredible divine potential of a single individual like this when he said, one moon gives more luster than all the stars. So a mooned soul, one who purely reflects the light of God, can influence the masses much more than the masses influence each other. Thus, individual effort can be even more important than mass karma. And he said, one who in every way tries to uplift himself, harmonizing body, mind, and soul with the divine, creates positive karma, not only in his own life, but in his family neighborhood, country, and world. Hence, it is not justified to say, well, thousands of people are misbehaving, so what does it matter if I am too? No, our guru said. And he ended, he said, the goodness of one soul may effectively neutralize the mass karma of millions. The goodness of one soul may effectively neutralize the mass karma of millions. And I thought, well, isn't this the example, the demonstration of the Christ or Krishna or any of the saints? As our guru famously said, change yourself and you will change. We will change thousands. You might have heard a story, and very possibly from me, I probably tell it every time because I find it so delightful, how some years ago, a few of our monastics attended this periodic World Parliament of Religions. And we set up our booth there and had a table with various of the publications of our guru and Self-Realization Fellowship. And on that table was a small How to Live booklet entitled How to Change Others by our then president, Sri Dayamata. And Brother Achalananda, who many of you know, he was one of those present. And he said how of all the items we had there, people coming by, that was the one they look at, oh, wow, how to change others. So, and we ran out of that promptly, he said, which made him chuckle because, again, the main message from Dayamata in her talk is that the secret, and if we want to change others, how do we do that? We change ourselves. And so Brother Achalananda used to, when he'd relate that, he said he didn't know how many kept those little booklets after they read them. Hopefully, let's hope it did some good, if not a lot of good, in this, again, illustration, even if just one soul took that to heart. And that's really, again, that's all that Self-Realization Fellowship, that's all that, any religion, that's all that God is about. One of us, one soul. The great ones would come for one soul. Our guru has that beautiful poem, I'll come, if need be, a trillion times. As long as I know one stray brother or sister is left behind. That again, these words are like, they're like doors that fling open for a moment that describe the kind of love that evokes those words. And then that door closes up because it's, even our master said, if we felt even a particle of divine love, it would overwhelm us with joy, with bliss. And so part of the spiritual life, the spiritual path, is getting ourselves used to first accepting our own worthiness, that we are made in that image, that we deserve that love. It's what we all long for, that whatever we long for, we actually deserve. And through meditation and that relationship with God and the Guru, he gets us used to that experience and to be able to take on more and more all the time. And so, wrapping up this thought one last time before we move on, the process or sequence of creating peace in the world is again so beautifully and perfectly described some years back by a bishop who had the following words inscribed on his tomb in Westminster Abbey. And it reads like this. It goes, when I was young and free, and my imagination had no limits, I dreamed of changing the world. As I grew older and wiser, I discovered the world would not change. So I shortened my sight somewhat and decided to change only my country. But it too seemed immovable. As I grew into my twilight years, in one last desperate attempt, I settled for changing only my family, those closest to me, but alas, they would have none of it. And now as I lie in my deathbed, I suddenly realize, if I had only changed myself first, then by example, I would have changed my family. From their inspiration and encouragement, I would then have been able to better my country. And who knows, I may have even changed the world. So again, it's that formula that our guru himself talks about. And the interesting thing is that this bishop lived, in that inscription is from 1100 AD. So is peace possible in today's world? It's always today. It's always going to be today. We're in whatever age and wherever we are. So let's address now that second part, that broader overarching question that we said we'd come back to is peace possible in today's world? And to start with, here's some words on this again from our former president, Sri Diamante, who said, someone once asked me, did Paramahansaji predict that peace will ever reign on earth? No, he did not. Now, don't run for the exits just yet. I know it gets better. She goes on, she said, no, he did not. She said, this is not a realistic expectation. And she said, this world was not intended to be a place of unalloyed contentment. However, she said, yes, there will be periods in the history of this earth when peace will be more predominant than at other times. There is no question about that. But she said, it is not realistic to dream of utopia in this material world because God did not create it for that purpose. She goes on, the kingdom of heaven is within, as Christ told us. Having forsaken that kingdom, man becomes a whining, weak, naughty, angry, sensuous, struggling creature, incarnating in this world again and again, until he or she comprehends the one purpose of this earthly schoolhouse, to prod us to reclaim that divine kingdom within. The one purpose of this earthly schoolhouse, to prod us to reclaim that divine kingdom within. She says, as long as man exists in this imperfect external world, he will go through turmoil and struggle to one degree or another. But then she says, well, you will say, then there is no use making an effort to improve the situation. Now, that's not the way of a spiritual person, the way of the yogi or the yogini. Well, I'll just take care of my own peace. She said, no, this is, she said, missing the point. She said, the earth is a school where we come to learn how to behave. That's all it is. And then she explains further the precise lesson that this schoolhouse is meant to impart. She said, it is easy to behave nobly toward those who love us, but how do we react toward those who hate and revile us? Can we respond with love, understanding, forgiveness in all situations and under all conditions? She said, if we keep that ideal before us and strive always to behave in the highest possible way, we will know for certain that we are progressing spiritually, that every circumstance we face in this life is drawing us closer to God. And she ends and says, to know him is to have the inward awareness of heavenly bliss, no matter what may befall us outwardly. That is the testimony offered by the lives of Jesus Christ and of all the great ones. And that is, again, the whole purpose of our existence, the purpose of our world, to learn to love others, to learn to love God, to learn to find God within ourselves, and then to see that divine in others. Nothing else. It's like what was said, though. Those two basic commandments, the rest is just commentary. The rest is just interesting thoughts around those two. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart. Love our neighbor as ourself. And so the point is, whether peace reigns or not, it ultimately only matters, how do I act? Am I peaceful? Do I give love? Do I give compassion? Do I give kindness? Do I give peace to others? And again, that has the greatest potential to create peace within ourselves and in the world around us. And it doesn't have to be, and often isn't, in some grand or public way. Rather, in the simplest, the sweetest unseen moments in all of our lives, all of the combined lives everywhere in the world at any one time. Those everyday simple moments and opportunities that make up this extraordinary experience called life. And I saw a story once that went like this, and it's entitled, A Most Important Question. And it reads, during my second month of nursing school, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a conscientious student and had breezed through the questions until I read the last one. What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely this was some kind of joke. I had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was tall, dark-haired, and in her 50s, but how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our quiz grade. Absolutely, said the professor. In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. I've never forgotten that lesson. I also learned her name was Dorothy. Sounds sweet. So, you know, as someone once said, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And as our guru said, give gifts of love and peace to those whom others pass by. You know, ordinary people like us doing extraordinary things. Nothing more extraordinary than giving gifts of love and peace to those who others pass by. And in, I think in my mind, I think in our minds, in our guru's mind, they say, that is a successful life. That is a victorious life. That is a peaceful life. And a life that gets the attention and favor and blessings of God and the angels. So as we seek to unite our consciousness through meditation and God reminding actions to that peace that surpasseth all understanding, we begin to grow in strength. I think we all can attest to that. We're able to take more than we were able in the past. We might say, I was able to stand, like our guru said, more unshaken amidst the crash of breaking worlds. Or we may have observed, wow, we were, again, more able to offer that hand of peace to someone around us who needed that assistance. Because all of this doesn't mean that we are immune to other sufferings or that we ourselves are not effective. Of course we are. Who feels more the pains of the world than these great souls, than these great masters? But they showed how they have this even greater strength rooted in their incomparable love that allows them to, again, be victorious over their own stories of experiences that come down to us and that enable them to carry the burden of all of us and with us for all time to come. Because in effect, I was thinking, they have shown they have conquered the world. I think it was our master said that these are the true conquerors in life. These are the true conquerors, the only true conquerors. And through their victory and great love, they call us to come home and find ultimate safety and security in them. I copied out a couple of other quotes here where the Lord Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the Lord Krishna said likewise, forsaking all other dharmas, remember me alone. I will free thee from all sins. Do not grieve. Be of good cheer. Do not grieve. And our own guru sums it up as follows. He said, this world will always have turmoil and trouble. What are you worried about? Meaning, don't focus. He's not dismissive of it. He's meaning, don't focus on that. Like Dhyama said, be realistic. The world will always have, in different ages, some greater or lesser degree of turmoil and trouble. Instead, our guru said, go where the masters have gone, to the shelter of God, whence they are watching and helping the world. And then he adds this most beautiful promise. He says, you shall have safety forever, not only for yourself, but for all those loved ones who have been entrusted to your care by our Lord and Father. Because again, in this schoolhouse, it's that, you know, it's the only lesson each soul needs to learn, that it's about that finding that peace, that divine love, and then sharing that with others. And although it looks bleak at times, here's what our guru also said about current world conditions. He said, "We must keep our gaze on the heavenly ideal of upward progress rather than being discouraged by the darkness and trouble that the world is going through." He said, in the ultimate sense, we are getting better. At present, we have an unhealthy world family, but it is going to improve as time goes on. The world family may be in trouble now, and it may seem utopian to talk about the United States of the world, but the evolutionary processes of God are silently working just the same. So be of good cheer. Do not grieve. You've probably heard, read at times, or seen somewhere this collection, you know, these so-called church bloopers where the wording gets mixed up in a funny way. And related to this subject, there was a notice sent around once that said that the peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Yeah, so, but for us, we go on just as planned, conflict or no conflict. In this cause of peace, this cause of self-realization fellowship, this fellowship with all souls, our entire world family. So let us close with these two quotes from our guru. Firstly, he said, "Keep a secret chamber of silence within yourself where you will not let moods, trials, battles, or inharmony enter. Keep out all hatred, revengefulness, and desires. In this chamber of peace, God will visit you." And then lastly, he said, "Affirm divine calmness and peace and send out only thoughts of love and goodwill if you want to live in peace and harmony. Live a godly life yourself, and everyone who crosses your path will be helped just by being with you." So then back to the original question and topic of the service: is peace possible in today's world, in my world? How do we feel now? Do we feel any different? If we, again, look within on that same scale of 1 to 10, do I feel a little? I would wager we bump that number up a bit because of the vibration of truth in these words, the encouragement that comes, the doors that get flung open because of these truths. That is why it's so important, as was said, you know, to come together, to meditate, and then to take a bit from the great words of our guru and these great ones each day, so that we can feel that encouragement, so that we can know that peace is possible in today's world, in my world. You know, we still have, I think, a few minutes before we practice our guru's healing technique for sending out vibrations of healing to those in need and for world peace. And as we spoke earlier, of course, the news images of that come in to us can be understandably distressing, but we don't need to put our head in the sand either. Or think that the world and its troubles is somebody else's responsibility. We are each brother and sister's keeper in that sense. And so the way to do it is if we become aware of some hot spot in the world, something comes in to us. And it was so helpful to me. I always think of this, of something our former president, Trimurti Mata, said. She would keep abreast of the news each day, she said, so that she said she would know what area or nation or people might especially need her prayers that day. So it's another way to turn this, to look at that. Or if, you know, when some news or situation comes in that understandably, you know, even just thinking about it, my breath sort of, oh my. But then we alchemize it. We take that emotion's energy that we can use. We can alchemize, transform that concern that we have about the world and about those people. and then send it back out as a powerful healing force that not only helps others, helps that situation, but can transform, can move that energy, move those emotions, move that fear possibly through ourselves as well. So before we practice the healing technique, here's another prayer for peace that our guru gave. We can close our eyes and again follow along this visualization as I read his words, and then we'll practice the healing technique. And it's entitled, A Prayer for Peace on Earth. And our guru says, close your eyes and concentrate deeply at the center of divine consciousness between the eyebrows. Feel the infinite love of God within your heart. Let your heart emanate that love for all the world. And he said, feel that your love is going forth like an invisible X-ray, coursing through space into the hearts of the dictators and prime ministers and heads of all nations, that they may bring peace and international prosperity on earth instead of destruction. Include in the powerful radiation of your love all peoples of the world. May our united healing rays of love be surcharged by the infinite love of our Father and bathe the entire earth, permeating the hearts of all leaders and citizens of the world, that they may be filled with the universal amity and harmony of God, bringing peace on earth, goodwill toward all, under the fatherhood of God. Heavenly Father, bless the nations of the earth, our own large family, that all may realize their eternal kinship as thy children. Thou art our one spiritual Father, the beloved of the universe and the beloved of our hearts. May the strong thoughts of love we broadcast today possess the brains of the dictators and generals, that they may be filled with thy wisdom and so desist from working toward the common ruin of humanity. Bless them all. Bless all citizens of the earth, that they may establish a cooperative unity among all souls and live in a united world with thy power and light of love guiding us to thy kingdom. Now with that powerful intention, let us stand and practice one of our guru's healing techniques. And as we practice this technique, our president, Brother Chidananda, once said, let us visualize as we chant Om that we're sending out streaks of light, rivers of light. Then he went on, oceans of light that will drive away the suffering of our brothers and sisters all over the world. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thou art omnipresent. Thou art in all thy children. Thou art in me. Manifest thy healing presence in the bodies, minds, and souls of all those who need divine help. Now we'll raise our arms and hands, and as we chant Om, let us send out vibrations of healing for the body. Om. For the mind, Om. For the healing of soul ignorance, Om. And for world peace and harmony, Om. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Great Gurus, Saints of all religions, we bow to you all. Beloved God, peace unto my soul, peace unto my family, peace unto my nation, peace unto my world. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Om, peace, amen. May the love and peace of God and the great ones be with us always.